truly the Bible says that children are like arrows in the hands of warriors. And warriors are very skilled with those arrows. So, you know, wherever they point that thing is where it lands at. So our children are just like those arrows. It is pivotal, you know, that we direct them in the right areas, that we give them the support, that we give them the honor and the praise that they deserve when they're doing the right things, give them the correction when they're not. That way they'll stay on the straight and narrow. That way they'll want to stay in the church and not want to join gangs, not want to go out and do other things. So continue to encourage the children and our youth. So again, my name is Sean Crawford, and met a lot of you, seen a lot of you. I'm from this area. I graduated from Southeast High School. Yeah, blue and gold, 2009, and they still running stuff. 2009, but then after that, I went on to SIUE, where I majored in biology, and then followed there to go to SIU School of Dental Medicine, where I was able to get my doctorate degree in dental medicine. So I'm back here in the area, and I'm excited to be back with my family and practice and serve and help out those who I love, who have loved me and prayed for me through all of my times going there. But let's get into this since we're on a time crunch. First, let us pray here. Dear God, we thank you so much. We thank you for our youth. We thank you for this special occasion, God, of giving away money and helping those to go and to educate themselves more, God. But first and foremost, let us never to forget to educate ourselves in your word, God, to become better stewards of our time, become better stewards just of your word, God, to live and grow in the knowledge of our love, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that in your name. Amen. So again, I went to dental school, and that was a story of its own. I think last year I didn't tell enough of my testimony, so I'll kind of start there and let you know that it's good now, and I love it. It's I love practicing dentistry. I love helping people create their smiles and recreate their smiles and do amazing things. But the journey to get there wasn't always easy. You know, I got some nice shoes on now, but man, they was worn out to get to where I'm at right now. It was many times of battling things, you know, of not feeling like I could make it, or what was I supposed to be there. And I told last year, it's like I wasn't and still don't believe that I'm the brightest person, you know, in the world. Hard worker, you know, never was voted in the yearbook to most likely be a heart surgeon or anything like that. So just to be where I'm at now is truly just a display of God's grace, God's mercy, and God's working hand. So I thank God for that. But even going to school, you know, my first in dental school for 4 years, my first 2 years were very rocky times of just trying to get adapted. I don't have family members that were dentists. I don't even think at the time we had many people that were MDs. So not really knowing exactly what I was getting into other than what I could Google. I'm just keeping it real. My first 2 years, you know, I spent in the first 2 years, after my first year, I didn't even want to go back. I came back home after the first summer, wasn't going back, but since I had already registered for my boards, I took my boards, didn't check my score, but my mom was nosy, she's still nosy, thank God. She checked my mail and said, "You passed," and that's good, but I ain't going back. You know, it's cool. I didn't even check my grades yet, and the day to move back to school, and my dad's like, "Ain't you supposed to go back?" Classmates texted me, and finally said, "Get in the car." You know, parents say you gotta listen. So we get back in the car. He drives and drops me off back in Alton, Illinois. Thank God he did, because it's a great decision to continue back. But even still, before I went, I found myself in the hospital room, not only my first year, but my second year. Before I took my boards my first year, so stressed out with school, studying myself. My grandma always told me, she said, "Boy, don't study your hair out." I didn't study it out, but I was graying a little bit. And studying, just trying to compete, looking at what everyone else is doing, trying to see what I need to do to kind of stand, you know, to measure up or feel like I measure up with everyone there. So that year, I found myself hooked up to things there, checking my heart, because little did I know, but I start to learn there that a panic attack feels just like a heart attack. And I thought I was about to go. I got to get here. And it's like, "You're fine, you know, but you are stressed out. Anyway, you can lower your stress." I was like, "Well, they can graduate me now. I'll be fine." But we made it. Second year, I found myself, same thing, you know, but things got better. So I'm here to show you guys how things can get better. We're going to start here. And We're going to start in John, the 21st chapter. And for the sake of time, I'm going to start at the third verse. And it reads, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered, no. He said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, that's John speaking to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment that he was stripped for work and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards out. And then we will jump down to the 15th verse. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter grieved because he had said to him a third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hand and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This was to show of what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. So throughout my time in dental school and you know, my ups and downs and getting through, one thing that really helped me out and kind of helped me get from that path of times of feeling depressed and calling my dad and him praying with me at nights and times of like my hospital visits and feeling like I'm going crazy, was this story here. And kind of when I grasped this concept that we're going to be talking about today and grasped this main scripture that we're going to talk about next is really when I began to live life a lot more freer, live life a lot more abundantly, and really trust God more. So many times in our natural lives and spiritual walks, we are akin to that of Peter's story. Peter was a fisherman by trade and was called to follow Jesus in Luke chapter 5. In the fourth verse, he said, we see Jesus telling Peter, who had toiled and fished all night to no avail, cast your net into the deep and let your nets out for a catch. And then when they did this and then listened to Jesus in verse 6, the story tells us that they caught a large number of fish, that their nets were so large their nets were breaking. Yet Peter found himself in a position not too long after this that many of us find ourselves in. Some breaking point. He had to make a decision in life. Life had thrown him a situation where he now had to make a decision, and God had foretold this. It was basically he had to figure out, was he going to follow God or was he going to deny God? And we all know the story. Peter chose the latter. Peter just not only denied God once, twice, but he did it three times. Each of the three times he did it very boldly. He did it very publicly. Now in John chapter 21, we see Peter basically returning back to a life that God had called him from. He was back fishing, except he wasn't fishing for men, which God called him. He said, I'm going to call you. He said, now I'm going to make you not only a fisherman, I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. But Peter's back doing what he originally had done when God first called him. Thus far, Peter is making a good case for why he needed to become a disciple in the first place, because he's still not catching any fish. So hopefully that he was he'd be a better disciple than he was a fisherman. But I believe that Peter was a good fisherman because that was his trade. That's how he made his living. If he wasn't a good fisherman, then Peter was probably a very thin fellow. But I don't think he was. I think he was a good fisherman, but I think what he missed was the point, and the point that I kind of picked up, and I hope that you guys grasped today, was God had already showed him once. He told him again, and now God has shown him another time. The first time that God had met Peter, he was fishing. He wasn't catching anything. And when Jesus came into his life, he had his biggest fishing day of his whole career. So now he's going, and God was grooming him to be a disciple, to make him a fisherman of men. Peter's, stumbled. He's called backslidden. He's denied God. He's down. He's like, he's going to what he knows. Humans tend to go back to what they know. Same reason I want to come back from school. It's a different area, but I'm familiar with Springfield. This is my old stomping grounds. Peter wanted to go back to what he knew, which is why also I think he was a good fisherman. I'm not going to go back to something that I'm not good at. But Peter wanted to go back to fishing because he felt he had failed in following God's plan for him. If he would have listened before, just one chapter before, we'll go to John the 15th chapter. But in the 13th, God tells him he's going to deny him. The 14th, God tries to remind him of the key to success, letting him know that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, that no one can come to me except, no one get to the Father but by me. But what he did not realize, and what he did not realize, what his key to success was here in the 15th verse. When Jesus talks to him, he says, in the 15th chapter, of John, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So here Peter finds himself that the key to life is abiding in God and he abiding in you. But yet now he was going fine. He had a rough patch, but now he no longer can catch any fish because he's not abiding in God. He's not connected to the vine. Until Jesus comes back and tells him to cast his net out again, and that reconnection comes again, and now he's a great fisherman again. Jesus never told Peter following him would be easy. And for us, it's the same. Following Christ is not easy at all times, but we have to stick with it. Knowing the rigors and the headaches and the heartaches that I would endure in dental school, I may have not gone. I enjoyed my field now in the process, but the process and the stress to complete it was enough to make you reconsider. But it wasn't until then, going through that process and learning kind of what God wanted for me, that I truly realized, what my purpose was and how I fit into that, and more importantly, how God fit into my purpose. So many times, God doesn't show us our full destiny and everything we'll encounter along the journey because we couldn't handle it. Quite honestly, many of us would be scared, yet he tells us to follow me. He says, follow me. Abide in me. Abide in my love. Stay connected to me, the vine, because I am connected to the vine dresser. And the vine dresser's sole purpose in life is to make sure that his crop bears fruit. And not just fruit, but good fruit. That's why he says, I come that you might have life, and not just any life, but life more abundantly. He doesn't want you just to be a branch, but he wants you to be a branch that produces fruit. Because fruits produce seeds, seeds fall into the ground and produce more fruit to continue that cycle. And then that's where that abundance comes. That's when you touch others' lives. And that's when we touch our children's lives and really get our children back and get on the right path. But we have to abide in him. And that's not where my story ends. That was my first 2 years with my trials and tribulations. My last 2 years got a lot better. At that time, I started dating a young lady who is now my wife. And even still, she noticed the difference from second year to third and fourth year. She said, what's going on? Like, is school getting easier? I was like, no, it's supposed to be getting harder. But I'm good. But I'm good. And that's when I really grasped this concept. My last 2 years, I started playing more extracurriculars. I played in soccer leagues and basketball. I even started working at Macy's part-time to make money. That didn't make a lot of the administrators happy. They're just like, you can't do this. This is the most stressful time of your curriculum. You really need to be focused. Your grades can go down. My grades got a little better. It's like but at that point, I was locked in and understood what I needed to do. I understood whose I was. I understood this key that, you know, I don't need to look to you all. And if I go further in John 21, at the end of that verse, what really gets me is Peter's hard-headed, like a lot of us. I don't even think I told this in the first one, but if you read this, Peter's hard-headed. After he got done and told him to follow him, Peter turns and sees that John is following him, and he asks Jesus, but what about him? What about him? And the Lord, and he says, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what does that have to do to you? You follow me. You follow me. I done told you once. I done told you twice. You follow me. So a lot of times, you know, we get sidetracked by what others are doing. You know, we get sidetracked about where other people are at. We get sidetracked with what the Joneses are doing. But God has a plan for your life. And that plan all starts with you abiding in him, following him, keeping your eyes fixed to Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And everything will be all right.
And it behooves us to love those and be examples and leaders for those young people that that look up to us. In this day and time, we're aware of the statistics and the trending data that tells us that for the first time in the United States history, the generation that's coming after us will make less money than the generation, first time in history, than the generation before. The generation coming after us will hold less degrees, and they will get married less, and they will buy houses at a less rate, and all these daunting statistics. But I believe God is raising up young people just like Sean and others. They're going to raise up and be leaders and examples in this day, such as a day like this. God is raising up people who's going to do his work in this dark day. Amen. We believe in encouraging our young people encouraging our young people and being positive with our young people. Anyone can disencourage a young person. Amen. But it's a wonderful thing to think positive about our young people. Amen. I was thinking of one of the preachers I know. He was telling a story. And he was raised in a big family, kind of like my own. But his father died when he was younger, and his mother had never driven. And they had to take his mom out and teach her how to drive because she had to get around. And he said it was hard trying to teach her how to drive. And she was trying to drive, and he just said, well, we're just going to take you down to the driver's license place, and we're going to just try to get you licensed anyway. And they took her down, and the man that worked with her, and he just couldn't hardly. But he went to his boss, and he said, she needs her license. Can we just let her have them? They just let her have her license because he knew the importance of her having her license. And she got out there, and she bought a big old van, and she put all these bumper stickers on the back, John 3:16, and all these other ones, right across over the license plate. She had one that says, honk if you love Jesus. Amen. And she got out in the middle of traffic, 5 o'clock traffic, and she was picking up folks for church and taking folks groceries and running around. And he was sitting over in the pastor's seat, and she got out in 5 o'clock traffic, and folks just got to honking. She's all in the way, and she looked over to him, and she said, son, isn't it a wonderful thing that so many people love Jesus? I choose to be happy. I choose to think that it's a good thing. Amen. That God is raising up. Amen. And we don't always see the road up ahead, but God got plans for each one of us. We don't always know the plans. I'm reminded in the scriptures in the book of Numbers. God had promised the Israelites the promised land. And Moses sent 10 spies over there to see about this promised land. And the majority come back and they say, yeah, we went over there. The good news is the land that runs with milk and honey and big fruit. But there's a problem. They got giants in there and they got all kind of people. And it's well fortified. We can never take that city. But Caleb and Joshua, they come back with a different report. And they was letting them know that we could take that city. No matter what the situation looks like, and I thank God for Sean. He's talking about having that connection with God. And no matter what the situation looks like, if you have that connection with God, God will take you through it. God will help you. No matter how daunting the task may look, God will walk with you and encourage you. Give the Lord a great big hand on today. We don't always know the situation, but we know that God will walk with us. I was thinking about Sean, and when he came up, and I remember, and I've coached a long time. I thank God for one of the greatest coaches ever played a part in my life, being here, one of my heroes, Coach Tom McBride back there. He's putting his head down, but don't duck. Hey, man, when I got to be a varsity football player, they named him head coach of the team. Amen. I've been on the team playing for a few years, but I never had a coach like this. Amen. And I could do no wrong. Even when I was wrong, he encouraged me. Good hit, Doss. And he encouraged us all. And he raised us up a level. But I remember coaching Sean, and I thank God for you. We love you on today. And we thank God. And Sean, when he was just a little, and I'd been coaching, I'd coached for a long time, and I was coaching at that time. I was also coaching, but I was coaching flag football at the Boys and Girls Club. I'd always give back, and when he came along, he was younger. Him and Corbin was younger because I had the fifth and sixth graders, or the fourth and fifth. I don't remember. I had the older ones, but we started letting them play at a young age because they were so talented, and they were on an undefeated team, and we used to win, and we. They come on up, and they went on, and I watched him, and they grow. And when they got it to Southeast, where I was at, and him and Corbin, they was coming in, and they had already, when I think Corbin was playing, all practicing with the varsity team on the football team, and Sean, and they had been working with LT. They were already playing on the varsity team as freshmen. And I thought, man, many young men as I've helped over through the years and get through college, and I said, these guys are so talented, they're going to play. They're going to play somewhere on a scholarship. And I said, what do y'all want? They said, we want to go on a scholarship. I said, okay. And they started. I was there their first day, and I saw them with their schedules, and they were going to class, and got a call the next day morning, and it was Sean's mother. And she said, Artie, and I knew the voice. Heard it many days. It kind of sounded like my mom's voice a little bit. And she said, I got a problem. I said, well, what's going on, you know? I saw him all day. She said, well, I got a problem with his schedule. I said, well, his schedule went well. I said, you know, and she said, I want him in more challenging classes. You know, I said, well, what are you talking about? She said, well, he's not into high track math, and he's not in this, and I want this changed. And I was thinking in my mind, I wouldn't want to be in that high track math for nothing in the world. But she didn't have, and I knew that, coming up in some of us, and when we played sports, we may try to get us on our schedule. We may try to get us a little, some PE, maybe some cooking, maybe a little art. I didn't even tell my mom it was a tough math. But she wanted him, and she had different plans for him. Although my plans for him was to go ahead in college and you go play you some sports, and her plans were totally different. She said, I don't want him going to school to being no foods and all these other things. I want him to be in no easy math and they're laughing, playing and telling jokes. I want to put him in the hard math, the difficult math. So by the time she got done with me, I said, well, I'm going to connect you with the guidance department because I know by the time she got done with them, they was going to put him in that math class that she wanted him in because I knew whose daughter she was. And so she changed his math class, and I just thought, and I just, on today, I'm thinking about the scripture in Jeremiah in the 29th chapter and 11th verse. And it says, and God was speaking to the Israelites, and they were in bondage at this time. And he said, for I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to not harm you, but to prosper you. Plans to give you a good future. No matter what we see, God got plans for us. God got a direction for us. God got a call on our lives, whether we know it or not. God has, if we walk with him, and if we exalt him, if we put him first, God will take us to a direction that we wouldn't even imagine. They were singing the songs, How Blessings Would Overtake You. Wasn't that the song, Leah? You've done a wonderful job. And I believe that if you trust God and turn it over, that he will. Amen. And when I saw, and I just thought that was so great when the parent went to bat. And a lot of times we don't have to go to bat for our children. We don't have to go to bat in our situations. We have a lot of people that's marching and fighting and over much of nothing. Protesting over much of nothing. They just marching. They sign. They marching. They protest. Don't even know what they protesting about. Time for us to get serious about our children. Time for us to get serious about our families. Time for us to get serious about our loved ones. God is calling. And I know that a lot of times we put in so much stock. I just know a story of a man who drive up around the Chicago area. And his story, he was going through the toll booth. And they took a picture of him. And he was got upset. He said, that camera took a picture of me. I wasn't even speeding. So he said, I was going 55. So he got off and come through again. This time he's going 54. And they took a picture of him again. He got really upset now. He said, they ain't sending me to a ticket. He went back through three different times, each time slowly, just waving at him. 2 weeks later, he got 5 tickets for not having a seatbelt on. Sometimes we arguing and fussing about things that don't even matter. That wasn't even the situation. God is calling for us to get focused in a people, raising up a people in this day and time, raising up a young people in this day and time that's focused on doing the work of the Lord, that's focusing on walking in the direction that allow God to elevate them, allow God to encourage them. I didn't always know the steps I was going to take. I didn't know the direction I was going in. I remember my brother sitting me down at one time and saying, brother, I don't know what I was doing, but it must have called for talking to. So what do you want to be? What do you see yourself doing? So have you ever thought about being an electrical worker? He was an electrical worker or something. He was an electrician or something. Have you ever thought? And I hadn't even, at that time, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was thinking in my mind, well, I'm kind of want to do what you did when you was at home. Dodge the chores. Talk smack on the basketball court. Stay up on the phone to 2 o'clock, whispering sweet nothings. But I didn't know quite, but God knew. Amen. And I thank God for all the smart young people and the ones that are on track. And I thank God for Chinwith. Okay. Chinwe. Thank you. I know what it means, and I thank God because God has a hand on our direction. Not everyone would be like that, and I need to be honest because I wasn't in always the high track classes. I'm gonna give my testimony and I'm gonna move on. I wasn't in at Dartmouth. I wasn't in and I would be tricking myself if I and coach back there. He know that I wouldn't. He was in-house teacher half a day. So I got to be honest. And when I came back to Southeast over 15 years ago as assistant principal at that time, and I couldn't hardly believe I was on. When they showed me my office, I couldn't hardly believe I got to sit on this side of the desk. I thought somebody was playing a joke. What do you mean? I'm sitting here. The first person came in, I was looking at him, I'm like, what they got you for? But thank God, because he had changed me. Give the Lord a great big hand clap. I have to be true because I come to share a message And I'm going to tell one more little story, and I'm going to move on with my testimony, because there was a man sitting next to a little boy. A man walked up to the little boy, and he was sitting next to a dog. And the man looked at the little boy and said, little boy, does your dog bite? And the little boy said, no. And the man reached out to try to pet the dog, and the dog bit him several times. And the man looked at the little boy and said, little boy, I thought you told me your dog didn't bite. And the little boy looked at him and said, well, that's not my dog. What are you trying to say? I have to be honest, because I don't want anyone to think only that if you got to be perfect and you've got to be, Kim never made a mistake before God used you, before God changes your directions, or before God, because I was more of an ex-student before I became a student. And I know y'all looking at me, but we got a lot of exes in here on today. A lot of us was exes. Some of us ex-gamblers, ex-liars, ex-alcoholics, ex-drug addicts. Somebody ought to say amen. I thank God I'm an ex. Amen. I'm just glad I'm not an ex-husband. Thank God for my wife. We've been married. Thank God I don't. We've been married for going on this time 33 years, and I thank God for her. She's been a supporter and a prayer warrior for me, even when I wasn't where I needed to be. Amen. And so I'm gonna give my testimony. I was, when I started school, we went to neighborhood schools, and not like that. They didn't bus us, and we walked to school. So when I started school, my brothers and sisters, I had 9 of us, and I was the 4th. So my older brothers and sisters had already been to the school, and every beginning of the school year, they would start calling the names, and they'd go through the A's and the B's. And they would get to the D's, and they would call my name, Artie Doss, and it would never fail. Are you Carolyn's little brother? And I would say yes. And she was such a wonderful student. She got all A's, and she followed the rules and done all these great things. Or somebody say, are you Jerry Wayne's little brother? He was so bright. He's done this, and he helped out, and or are you CC's brother, whatever. And they quickly found out, although I had the name, a lot of the characteristics I didn't have. I found out that I would talk in class when I wasn't supposed to talk. I didn't understand some of the lessons. I didn't gather the reading, and I didn't pick up in the math, or I didn't understand. And I fell farther behind, which sometimes caused me to play in the classroom or caused me to get removed from the classroom. To make a long story short, I didn't even like school after a while. A lot of times we would come home and my brothers and sisters, and they would bring their report cards in. And mom would say, everybody, who all got report cards? And they would bring in, and Carolyn would bring her report card in, and they would put her report card on the refrigerator. Come in, Carolyn. She come in. She got all A's. And Jerry Wayne come in, and she, oh, Jerry Wayne got all A's. Kiss him. CC come in. He's got all A's. He's shouting all the way through. And I was kind of sneaking in. And she said, Artie, everybody else got report cards. Where's your report card? And I was ashamed because the grades that I had earned or I should have earned. And down through the years, I went on to high school, and it kept happening. And I tried to go to college, amen. And in college, things didn't happen. They give you a year probation. And after that, you got to go. And a lot of things would seem more fun with me hanging out with my friends than studying or doing other things than studying. But I thank God that those coaches and those loved ones, they didn't give up on me. They kept praying for me. They kept being examples before me. And I say today, don't criticize young people when they're not in the right direction or when they're not going in the right direction. Just pray for them and allow God to work with them. Allow God to change them and God to uplift them. And somewhere along the line, God, through the prayers of the righteous, God allowed me to go back to those same colleges I flunked out of. And I went back and not only got A's and got on the honor rolls, got on the dean's list, but I come out of those colleges. And I went back to some of those same schools that God had, that some of those teachers told me I'd never be nothing, and they laughed at me and put me out of their class. And I was able to go back in those same schools and coach and teach, going on to get a master's degree and get to evaluate some of those same teachers that said you would never make it. I thought about the scripture that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God has taken us from a level, no matter where you are. God has a call on your life. And not only did he come for those that are smart and those that are brilliant, but he comes for those that in some need direction and need support and need the extra love, because not everybody is going to walk the straight and narrow all the time. But God is going to hold everybody's hand. God is going to keep all of us. God loves us all. I was able to go back to school this recently and go back to one of the most prestigious universities in our field, in the field of education, and come out with a PhD. About 15 years ago, God sent me to a school where I could make a difference. And I was at that school for 5 years, and I saw how God needs leaders, how God needs us. And then for the last 9 years, I've been at a high school. Amen, but I want you to know today that God is calling for leaders, and God is calling for somebody who's going to be connected, that he might be able to do his work.